2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
The Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies.
Y'all ready?
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
Presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Yeah, he's on his way to L.A. To have his procedure, and then we wait.
What are you thinking in terms of
They'll know more once they get in there. We're optimistic, but he's not out of the woods until they get in there and make the decision.
Robert Saleh, head coach of the New York Jets, miffed, obviously, after the Zach Wilson injury on Friday. It was a weird one to watch, Scott. Welcome back, by the way. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Weird injury to watch. Because as I see it happen, I just assume that it's worse than even that. The possibility of there even being having him not out more than, I mean, I just assumed it was an ACL tear, you know, when I saw it.
Right.
And yeah, I just keep thinking.
It looked like it could have been a lot worse.
But they don't know. And I guess they'll go in, and you've had a bone bruise.
I haven't had a bone bruise.
Oh, you thought maybe.
No.
You've had the meniscus trimmed, though, haven't you?
Okay, so. Yes, I've had both of my meniscus done, and not while I was playing football, by the way. And I never had a surgery that where when I was playing on my knees. But I was watching actually a discussion specifically about Zach Wilson's injury with an orthopedic surgeon, and he just talked about that the bone bruise could be the most painful part about all this, where the bones actually collide with each other and cause some actually bruising and swelling. But the meniscus is actually a very, I would say a lot of guys in the NFL at one point or another will have some kind of meniscus work done. And depends on if it's on the inside or the outside of the meniscus, because it's like this little ring that sits between your upper, and lower bones in your body. And it's just like a cushion. And if it's on the inside, they go in and trim it off. It's on the outside, they just repair it. And it's, the recovery is actually pretty quick.
The whole thing is everybody's just hoping that he's back. Well, he'll
be back.
You want to be back for the beginning of the season, but
yeah.
But I mean, like, if he does get back for the beginning of the season, he also misses out on all these live reps that he's getting. Does it matter, though? You've talked about how camp doesn't really matter, but the live reps in a year two for a quarterback, that's a massive deal. And I think losing out on that is the part that really, really sucks. And the part where he just feels like he's been injured a lot, in the last 4 years.
When you're a young quarterback, that practice matters. Training camp matters. You can't get enough reps. This to me is the most challenging thing for Zach Wilson is that he needs game reps. He needs to see the speed. He needs to make game decisions. He needs to be in game situations. The thing that concerns me, though, is Zach Wilson has proven pretty much every year, his last year at BYU he was healthy, but he's had a lot of injuries through the years, and a lot of them have been in situations where maybe he's trying to do a little bit too much, and he has this, very confident attitude, which is great, and you have to have that, but there's also a discretion that comes with that. And just on the play that he got hurt on, he's cutting back to the inside of the field. And I know it's like great and wonderful. You want to be that guy, but you also want to be the guy to play the next down. And it's a preseason game. It's not going to mean anything. I think Zach Wilson's already established himself as the players are believing in him. You know, unfortunately, some of his off-field things have created that perception. So don't be stupid. And especially early on in the very first preseason game. I know it's hard for a young guy with all that adrenaline. You're out there on the field. It's hard to manage that stuff, but it's not. And you go through it enough and you learn, don't try to be a hero on this play right here, especially in the preseason. You've got to be able to be healthy throughout the regular season. And that's kind of always been my concern with Zach, is that he's a guy that's going to go, and he's not built in a way that can withstand, nor does he want to. You don't want to take all those unnecessary shots. You just don't. So I'm just a little concerned with it.
Well, I think most people see kind of what had happened, and Robert Saleh talking about how much of a setback this could be. So if you're, I mean, getting all excited about this team has been, I mean, I allowed myself to go, man, I really want to see what he does year two. And I think that we've been seeing a better Zach Wilson, even with all the off the field stuff that has been a massive distraction. It seems like it hasn't distracted him. You know, it's like he's got some really good people who kind of keep him insulated from all that, because it's been drama-filled, to say the least. I mean, you think about it. You think about all the things that have been floating around this guy in the offseason. It's just stuff that none of these players would want to have to address, and none of them have to address it anywhere near anything like this. This is wholly unique to – but drama's not unique to any of these to these players. But this type of drama is high, high drama. And I think that most people look and see, well, Zach Wilson, I don't know how he's going to handle it. But having this kind of happen, if you're Coach Robert Saleh, you just at some point you feel like the Jets are just doomed, and they're doomed every year to some extent. And so I don't know. I don't know how this thing's going to end.
Here's what's hard for Zach Wilson right now is they're saying a month. Okay, so that's all of training camp. It might be a game or two into the season. Yeah. I mean, we're the 15th of August. The first game's on September 11th. So that's a month.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Roughly, you know, just short of a month. And it's like, fine, you're healthy, but the training camp speed and the preseason speed, very different from the regular season speed. If you remember a year ago when everything was vanilla, and Zach Wilson was in preseason, he was looking pretty good because no one was really showing you anything. And then all of a sudden you get into the regular season and it goes 900 miles an hour and they're doing all these crazy things. And you're like, where did all this come from? So here you've been injured. You haven't really had that buildup to the regular season where you're practicing a lot. You're getting in preseason games. You're getting used to that, you know, close to that speed. And then you're going, you know, from basically 0 to 60 in 2 seconds when you get into the regular season. And a veteran guy, a guy who's been through it a lot, fine, he can handle it. But a young guy, he's in his second year, with all the pressure, all the expectation that's on Zach Wilson, that's a harder thing to deal with. The upside to this is a year ago, the Jets didn't have anybody. Like, they had Zach Wilson. They didn't have a quarterback. And now you got Joe Flacco, who's going to get more reps, going to get all the reps with the first team, going to be the first team guy, probably going to start the season as the starter. And you're a quarterback, and you go into camp – and you all of a sudden are thrust into being the starter, that's about as easy a way for you to ease into a season than you go into a season as a backup. You don't see any action till like halfway through the season. So all that work you got in preseason kind of goes out the window and you're rusty. And this way, man, you go right into the regular season and he's going to get comfortable with the system. And I wouldn't be surprised if Joe Flacco doesn't look pretty good. and doesn't play, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he plays very well this year. And I also, Zach Wilson will watch this. And so now Zach Wilson is behind a guy who's won a Super Bowl, who I think is a very good underrated quarterback in the NFL.
Right.
And he's going to get a chance to watch his demeanor, watch how he is in games, watch how he is in practice, and watch how he handles situations. And some light bulbs are going to go on for Zach Wilson. He's going to go, oh, I need to kind of mellow out in this situation. Or, you know, okay, that's smart. Or I get that. Or he'll just start seeing how Joe Flacco handles situations and throws and games. And it'll be an education. So in some ways, it will be good for Zach because he didn't have that a year ago. And not only didn't he have that, he didn't have a coach that could walk him through and talk him through so much of this stuff. You know, he's on his own. And so, you know, maybe this is a blessing in disguise for Zach Wilson to kind of have someone show him the ropes a little bit as opposed to just – and Zach's that kid. He's like, I got this. I know how to do all this. And,
right.
And,
but it's
you
one
know,
thing to have – but Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl. You always talk about how he probably is still good enough to be a starter somewhere in the league. And then there's a difference between that and Mike White, who came in for him last year, who was like this just flash in a
one-hit pan. Wonder.
Had one really, really good game, but then other than that kind of fell off the planet. So there's a difference there. And I think that part of it is your young quarterback being able to look at a guy and go, oh, no, this guy I trust. This guy actually – I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much he'd want to actually hear from Joe Flacco or how much Joe Flacco wants to, you know, dole out advice-wise. We had this whole discussion during the – during the offseason about whether or not a veteran quarterback needs to even be, the guiding light for a young quarterback. It doesn't necessarily need to happen. They could just be that guy anyway. I don't think there's that back and forth in, I don't think it matters as much in New York. I think that the Jets, and I think that Zach Wilson is way more mature than whatever the back and forth that happened there in Tennessee was. When you see the preseason and you see these things happen over the weekend and you have these guys who are on the cusp of making, I know that your first year you were nervous about, or how long was it till you figured out, okay, I'm actually going to make this, what was it back then? A 48 man roster. I think it was probably during your day. So a 48 man roster, at what point were you like, oh shoot, I'm actually going to be the guy.
Well, the guy
is in the backup.
So I went into things with that in my mind. Like I just never thought of it any other way. Like there never was a moment where I go, I mean, I got drafted and 2 days after the draft, I was in South Florida for a mini camp, and that mini camp I was spinning. I go, I am not going to be able to do this. I have no idea.
What was the hardest part? Was it the learning of the system?
The
or
speed,
what was it?
Not knowing anything. Dan Marino was amazing. Like, I was just like, I can't do that.
I think I say, Dan Marino was a jerk.
No. He was just so good.
Right.
Like, I'd never seen anything so good, as a football player.
How does it turn around from going, oh, man, this is too much
so
for
you're
me,
there
to
for,
suddenly
you're there for 3 days.
I belong here.
You're there for 3 days.
Uh-huh.
And then I went home. So I was basically drowning that first 3 days, just full of self-doubt, full of, like, I can't do this. I went home.
Your credit card stolen.
And then I was home for, I think, 2 weeks. And then
what
I went.
What did you do in that gap?
When I went home,
that gap?
I worked out harder than I ever have in my entire life.
You're like, this
I'm
is
just
serious.
Like,
Mom, this is serious.
But I had an NFL football, which I got to throw around, and that was
cool.
That
was different.
Right. And I got some sweatbands and a hat. You know, a hat. I thought I was pretty cool.
Oh, my gosh.
But I just had a moment. I just said, you know, this stinks because you thought you were going to be in a different place and you thought you were going to get drafted.
Right.
But this is your opportunity. Like, it was just this very come to the realization that this is your situation. And that was the best thing that ever happened to me. And I owned it. I just said, I'm going to Miami to be the starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. And that's what I went back to Florida with after 2 weeks. And then I spent the whole entire summer there. I got a chance to work and to learn the offense, and I had practice every day.
But you had a roommate wasn't at mini camp, was it at training camp?
When he so
was
at like, training camp.
Hey man, you're not going to make the team, bro.
So he came out in the summer. So we were kind of hanging out a little bit in the summer, but then he came to training camp, and we had the same agent. So he was a player. He played 5 years in the NFL, And we had the same agent, and that was just by coincidence that we actually became roommates. Yeah. And he told my agent, because my agent asked him, he goes, well, what do you think of Scott? It's, you know, and my roommate told my agent, he's not going to make the team.
Oh, wow.
And the reason, he goes, he's too nice. And my...
This Utah kid, he's coming out, he's getting a fist full of dirt, man. Yeah,
and so I made the team, and my roommate didn't.
Oh, boy. 5 years in the league, he didn't make the team?
No, he didn't make the team. But it really was that mindset. And then the first game I played in, I was terrible. It was against the Chicago Bears preseason game. I was like, I think I was 6 for 20.
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh that much.
Well, no, because it was terrible. You know, it was like, it was awful. And then the next week we played Tampa Bay, and it just clicked.
Started getting a little
bit
better.
It just boom. And I would say that's probably the moment in that game, because I played really well, and I was like, and I felt it. You know, I felt that fire. I felt, and then just after that, it was just
like I can do this.
It was just like lights out. But hey, I never in a moment past that first 3 days, I never ever even questioned in my entire career if I'm going to make it. If I'm going to get cut, that never entered my mind.
I love the idea of a guy going, oh, Scott? Yeah, he's not making the team, dude. Bring your playbook, Mitchell, because you're not making the team, kid. Did you find that out, like, way after, or was it like that?
No, week? After I'd made the team.
My agent
came
you.
Down, for, and he goes, you know, Beatty said, he goes, he didn't think you made the team. He, says, he thought you were too nice. He goes, isn't that funny that you now made the team?
And he didn't. Wow. What position did he play?
He was a tight end.
Oh. All right.
But he did come back about 3 weeks into the season.
Yeah, of course.
I actually went to the airport and picked him up.
Oh.
And he stayed in my townhouse for a while.
Did he apologize ever?
He never knew that I knew.
Yeah, okay. That's funny.
And he ended up playing for the Dolphins for like 4 or 5 years.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, and so we were seatmates on the airplane.
There you go. Davis Vision Summer LASIK Sale going on now. Get rid of those contacts, glasses, and save $1,000. Davis Vision also offers routine eye exams, full-service optical center for prescription glasses, frames, contacts, and the full line of sunglasses. Go to DavisVisionMD.com. That's DavisVisionMD.com. Take advantage. Get $1,000 off that LASIK. We'll come back. When we come back around the corner, oh, we've got a little college football countdown around the corner. We'll see what goes on here. We've got the actual days of the countdown. Man, it's getting to be a lot less. Every weekend, it takes away even more. So we'll come back. We'll chat about that and more to go. Unravel continues 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.